What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got a quick one for you today as the Dubs are taking on the New Orleans Pelicans at Oracle tonight, kicking off an almost two-week homestand. A good article came out as well about the Warriors and who they might quote-unquote fear going into this season, and some other great stuff as well. Going to cover it all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm Charles D. Hamilton. Like I said, a quick one for you today. Not a ton going on, but definitely some things worth mentioning. The Warriors taking on the Pelicans tonight. At home at Oracle, going to be a good one, interesting one at the very least. Not too sure. I think Anthony Davis is playing tonight. There have been contradicting reports that some have said he's in, he's good to go. Others have said it'll be a game time decision. So we'll see. I hope he does. It's always a interesting game when he's in the lineup, especially against the Warriors. And I'm sure he wants to. I don't know if you can redeem yourself from playoff losses in the regular season, but, you know, I'm sure there's a little something extra going on as far as wanting to beat the Warriors after their playoff loss to the Warriors. They've lost to them a couple times in the playoffs, haven't they? They sure have. But Anthony Davis playing tonight, I think it's a game-time decision, but like I said, I've heard contradicting reports, so we will see. But as far as the Warriors are concerned, they're good to go, 100%, no injuries. Well, shouldn't say 100%. Sean Livingston is out, so not 100%. But, yeah, he's still working on the foot soreness, so to speak. And, look, I hate to bring it up as much as I do, but it's one of the main storylines going on around the Warriors right now. It sucks Pat McCaw's not here because this is another he was going to have opportunities in the first place, and then with Sean being out, this is another opportunity for him that he's missing out on. So, hope he's all right, man. Hope Pat McCaw is all right. Anyways, back to the game. Warriors taking on the Pelicans. I'm intrigued because these Pelicans are new look, so to speak. Because Rondo's gone, because Boogie's gone. But the thing is, they were only there for a year. Technically less than a year because, you know, Boogie got hurt. But Elfrid Payton has been solid for them, like really solid. Julius Randle is a good player, as we all know. And the Pelicans really hit their stride last year when they acquired Mirotić. Played him at the four and Anthony Davis at the five. And they've been good. They've had a solid season so far. Of course, Anthony Davis getting hurt is always a worry. They are 4-2. Besides the injury, it's a great start to their season. So it'll be interesting to see, of course. Mirotić is, I mean, I hate making these easy comparisons, but he's Joe Ingles-esque, you know? He's a solid player. He can knock down threes. We'll see how they handle it tonight. Some of the matchups I'm looking forward to, I mean, Damian Jones is going to start. I don't know if he'll start out on Anthony Davis, but he kind of has to because you're not going to put him on Mirotić on the perimeter, but it's not as if Anthony Davis lives in the post. So it'll be interesting to see how Damian Jones can do. He did get his fourth-year option picked up, as I mentioned last episode, last show. Funny story, or not that funny, I don't know, a story about him getting his option picked up. He said he was at home playing his Nintendo Switch, got the paperwork, signed it, went back to playing his Switch. He's a simple dude. So that's a matchup I'm looking forward to. Payton and Steph. I mean, look, Steph is Steph. You know, no one's going to slow Steph down. So is that really a matchup? I don't know. Always good to see Ian Clark, though. If he gets matched up on Steph again, I mean, we saw it in the playoffs. Steph had no mercy for him because it was the playoffs. And Ian got cooked. We do love you, though, Ian. Don't you ever forget it. What else? Alphonso McKinney, can he continue his solid play? Jonas Jerebko, same thing. Just all the same stuff, really. it's hard to, I don't know, come up with storylines and things to look for when the team's this good. Can Steph continue his hot play? Can Steph and KD continue showing this chemistry and this balance of their games and working together that we've seen so far in the first eight games of this season? I think they can, but it's something else to look for. On top of that, Klay Thompson. Can he prove that he's out of his slump? Was it more than just one great, you know, record-setting game? Not that I need him to go, you know, 14 to 24 from three, but can he, you know, 4 of 5? 3 of 6, something like that. You know, can we just get a standard Klay Thompson game? And, you know, just continue to show that you're not having shooting troubles anymore. I think he will, but that's also something to look for because it's no guarantee that one huge game means he's back. He's all good. I also wonder if tonight could be a good night for Quinn Cook to get some run because of the size of the Pelicans' backcourt. You know, Ian Clark, Elfrid Payton, Frank Jackson, they're all, you know, 6'3"-ish. So Quinn wouldn't be at that major disadvantage that he finds himself against certain backcourts. But we'll see. I'm a big Quinn Cook fan, as you all know. I like his game. I like his scoring off the bench. So I want to see him get more run. But we'll see if it happens or not. Who knows? And with Sean out, you know, probably a good time. And then I mentioned Damian Jones earlier, and let's say he's getting cooked. So then what, Looney and Bell up against AD? That's something we're going to look for as well. I think this could be a good Bell game because Anthony Davis is a monster, and Damian Jones is like almost a rookie pretty much and doesn't have great awareness either. So we'll see how it goes. If he's playing well, you're going to keep playing him. But coming into this matchup, I'm not super... Don't feel many positive vibes about this matchup for Damian Jones tonight, but we'll see. We will see. It all that matters is what happens when the game starts. Monty Poole of NBC Sports Bay Area or NBC Sports, or I don't know, they changed their name a bunch. You guys know Monty Poole. He had a piece come out today just about Boogie and that the Warriors are kind of motivated for tonight to get the win tonight for him. And they didn't go into specifics about what he said, but Damian Jones mentioned that Boogie let it be known that they want him to win. He wants them to win this game. There's still some hard feelings, at least on Boogie's end, towards the Pelicans. He feels deceived and like he was done wrong there. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, I don't know. But he wants the win tonight. Warriors want to get it for him. Should be a good one. Check it out. A couple other things came out on the Warriors' end today. Certain things about who they might be fearing, the greatness of Steph Curry, and then some stuff came out from around the NBA. The Timberwolves drama is just pathetic. I don't know if that's the right term. Is that too mean, you guys? I don't know. It's ugly, though. But are they worse than the Wizards? We'll talk about all that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Quick one today as the Warriors get ready to take on the Pelicans tonight, 7:30 from Oracle Arena. Some good stuff in the media over the last day or so about the Warriors. Monty Poole always has great stuff on NBC Sports Bay Area, I believe it is. Drew Schiller also has some good stuff out there. One of the things Monty wrote about was just Pat McCaw and just, you know, the door's still open, but they need him less and less now. I mean, this could not go worse for Pat as far as the beginning of the season goes, where he's kept himself away from the team and Alphonso McKinney has not only, you know, taken his spot, so to speak, but played better than Pat ever has. So that was just one thing that Monty wrote. Just, you know, he's continuing to hurt himself more in this process. And there might not be an end in sight. But the Warriors are also doing the right thing and hanging on to his rights. It's an asset. And this is a team that can't afford to just let assets go for nothing or set the precedent that, okay, you get to dictate where you're going to go and who you're going to play for and what you get to do in the NBA. You don't. It's just the truth. A guy like Jimmy Butler might have some leverage. A guy like Pat McCaw has none. None, especially when the Warriors are offering up raises. And, okay, you don't want the raise. You don't want the team option in the second year. Then take the qualifying offer, which is still a nice offer considering how poorly you played last year. So I think Monty's right. It's not looking good for Pat so far. But he did bring up a good point. Two good points. One thing, Alphonso McKinney, if Pat McCaw signed either one of the contracts the Warriors offered him, his qualifying offer or the two-year $5 million offer that they made, McKinney probably wouldn't be here. He probably wouldn't. There wouldn't have been a roster spot for him to take. And Alphonso McKinney is playing so much better than expected. Obviously, he's locked into a roster spot, basically, unless his game falls off a cliff, which I do not expect to happen. And then there was another point made of partially as to why they're still willing to bring Pat McCaw back, or at least that's what they're saying publicly. You know, who knows what the process would be like of bringing back a guy who, you know, shunned the entire team and organization for a good 3 months. Is that Pat McCaw is a player who can play the guard spot and slide into the three when you need him to. The only difference with McKinney is he's a three that can play some four. And that positional versatility, specifically where McCaw plays, the two and the three, or technically the one if you need him to, that positional versatility is what the Warriors need. And they're looking for someone, and I know they have it with Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston, but the thing is, Pat McCaw was looked at as the eventual replacement for those guys. So it's not the biggest loss or anything like that, or, you know, I don't know. It's not the biggest deal, but it's just they could potentially find someone else to fill those roles, but they thought they had someone. Still kind of do think they have someone. They at least have the rights to someone that they think can do it. So who knows how this is going to end, but it's been bad. Another thing that came out was the Players Tribune, I believe it was, has a whole piece with Steph Curry and I don't even know, Neymar, I think. I'm not a soccer guy, so I'm not sure who it is. But it's a solid piece of him and Neymar sitting down. And man, I've got to go check who this is, because if I keep calling him Neymar and it's not him, I'm going to feel like an idiot. I'm back. I was right, you guys. It was Neymar. I knew the whole time. Huge soccer fan. But the piece is Steph and Neymar sitting down just swapping stories. And it's pretty great. Steph talks about, you know, when he was doubting himself back in 2012 because of his injuries and how Aisha kind of helped him get out of that funk he was in. And just other things about, you know, just his life. I don't want to give it all up on here. Some of it's really great. Yeah, I just can't do it. I don't want to give it up on here. You guys should go check it out. Check out the Players Tribune. It's a great piece. It's interesting stuff. I think anyone that's a big enough fan to be listening to Locked On Warriors would really enjoy this video of Steph and Neymar just chopping it up. But it is really good. Some funny stuff about Riley in there also, as we all love her. So check it out. Raymond Ritter, today on Halloween. Pretty funny. If you guys don't know who Raymond Ritter is, he's the PR guy for the Warriors. PR legend. Wins multiple awards every year for the best PR department, best PR man in the league. I can vouch that he is better than most, because working with the Kings as I do, there will be games where we're trying to get interviews after the game and they'll send us the 13th man on the bench who, you know, scored 4 points in 10 minutes. And look, grateful for anyone that will come on, but Ray Ritter gets you Steph, Clay, KD, whoever, when you request someone. And part of that is Steph, Clay, and KD, and those guys are so willing to do it, and they understand the importance of doing stuff like this also. But like when Clay dropped 37 in a quarter against the Kings, you know who the Kings got on their broadcast after that game? Klay Thompson. So it's just a little random Ray Ritter praise here on a on Halloween. But not just for how good he is at his job. He dressed up like Clay today, as old white people do. He had a dress shirt on under the jersey. But he did have the headband on also. So that was the funny part. Shout out Ray Ritter. Last thing I want to talk about, I know I'm just going around the internet here and all the articles and stuff that have come out about the Warriors, but there's been a lot of good stuff recently to come out about them. Sam Amick of The Athletic has a great piece, Who Do the Warriors Fear? Nobody really, but they did tell us which teams worry them the most. So as you know, I'm a big fan of The Athletic. Sam Amick is a great national writer. He doesn't just cover one team or anything like that. But this is a piece that he did about who the Warriors fear. And one of my favorite parts at the beginning is he mentions that he doesn't like to let players have anonymous, be anonymous players. You know, he likes to have names on the sources and stuff like that. But he was offering the ability to go anonymous in this article if they wanted, because, you know, you're talking about teams and stuff like that. And so he's talking to Draymond. And he gave Draymond that option, and Draymond's response was, I don't give a shit. You can put my name on it. Shout out Draymond. That guy's the best. So Sam interviewed four players, Draymond, Sean, Livingston, obviously, Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry, throughout the course of about a week, and asked them similar questions just about who's a contender, who they think might have a shot at taking them down. Boston was the popular choice. I would suggest you all go read it. It's a lot more detailed than what I'm going to give you here today. But Boston was the main pick for all of them, understandably so. Boston's a damn good team with a lot of depth. A ton of respect given to Al Horford from the guys also, which I love because Al Horford is a monster who does not get the respect he deserves, at least from media types. And maybe because he's not, you know, boisterous, maybe because he doesn't post funny stuff on Twitter like Joel Embiid or some shit, but he is as good a center in this league as there is. There was other teams. They talked about Houston. They talked about Milwaukee. KD brought up Milwaukee specifically. Houston, they talk about Houston, but at the same time, Steph was like, yeah, you know, they're still a top team because of what happened last year, but we haven't played them yet, so I don't know what this new squad looks like in Houston. I don't know what they're like, so it could be different. But Steph had them up there also. It's just an interesting look at how they see the teams across the NBA that are good, you know, and might have a shot at taking them down, but probably not. This is Locked On Warriors. Come on back. We're going to look at game picks for tonight, as well as some drama across the league. That's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors, finishing up for today, for Halloween. Anyone going out? Anyone doing some trick-or-treating, you know? Hit me up with your costumes, man, at CTH415. I love it. I'm not doing it. Like, here's the thing. I don't always do Halloween. I'm not a huge Halloween guy, but when I do, it's got to be on point. You know what I mean? I'm not going out with just a wig and saying I don't know, a guy with long hair. Like, if I'm doing Halloween, it's got to be legit. And I always appreciate the clever costumes, too. So hit me up. I want to see it. Also, be safe. Enjoy trick-or-treating. When did we stop being able to trick-or-treat, just go get free candy from people? We should be able to trick-or-treat 365 days a year. That's the real deal. Any age, also. Anyways, going across the NBA... You know, it's a real mess in Washington, D.C. for the Wizards. They all kind of hate each other. Brad Beal doesn't really like John Wall. John Wall doesn't really like Brad Beal. They both hate Austin Rivers. I mean, maybe that's changed since Austin got there, but I doubt it. I doubt it. But you guys, look, even with the dysfunction, it's all good because Dwight Howard's coming back. Dwight Howard's about to be back. It's going to be fixed. Jokes aside, Dwight Howard should be able to help on court. Regardless of how much Marcin Gortat and John Wall hate each other, they were useful on court together. They were a nice pick and roll tandem, and Dwight Howard should be able to fill that role. But he should also add some extra drama to this just terrible situation that's going on there. But it's almost not as bad as the Timberwolves situation, where Jimmy Butler, as we all know, still wants to get traded and is making a point of now just sitting out. I'm just going to sit out, dude. I don't feel like playing tonight, dude. Trade me. I don't know, and I don't know what the Timberwolves are waiting for. I know they're trying to play their leverage and get what they can and get the best offer, and maybe it works out and they get a great one. But right now, I don't know. It's a terrible situation there, and it seems to get worse. And Jimmy says he's tired. It's just he's resting his body, you know, and he might play Friday against the Warriors. All right, whatever. I don't know. It's a terrible situation. They need to figure it out as soon as possible because this isn't helping anyone. It isn't. It's not. So speaking of which, my picks for tonight, man, kind of a rough slate. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm interested in all of it because I'm a hoops nerd and like I'll get joy out of watching Victor Oladipo put up 100 against New York or Blake Griffin getting swatted by Jared Allen again. Actually, yeah, that's one of them. Detroit at Brooklyn, 4:30 Pacific time. Blake Griffin, Jared Allen beef. It's not quite beef, but will Jared Allen get another massive swat against Blake Griffin? As you guys know, I'm a huge fan of Jared Allen. I think he's going to be looked at as one of the top centers in the league by the end of this year. Denver at Chicago, not really. Denver might put up 150 like the Warriors did. Utah at Minnesota, we've seen with Minnesota how poorly they play without Jimmy Butler, even though it's just incredibly toxic there. Pelicans and Warriors should definitely be a pick, but as you know, this is a Warriors podcast, so I already picked them. You know, I'm already watching every single one of those games. So, I don't know. Dallas at LA, why not? Dallas at the Lakers, let's see. You know, Dallas played well last game. I mean, who am I kidding? Now I'm just trying to talk myself into it. Screw it. Pelicans, Warriors, Pistons, Nets. Boom. Enjoy. Everyone have a safe, fun, happy Halloween. I'll be back tomorrow with probably a game review and hopefully some other news. You know, the NBA never sleeps, man. It's always got something great going on. So thanks for listening. Be safe. Have fun. Send me pictures of those costumes at CTH415. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.